Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 186. It is the week of the Richmond Marathon. It's the week of November 16th, 2013. And yes, I'll be running the Richmond Marathon November 16th, so I've been prepping for that. Of course, I've been training, you know, since the summer for that, and I'm really getting close now. Had some really good training runs, the long ones, 18-miler, 20-miler. I just did 11 the other day. I totally skipped 2 weeks ago due to reaction to a flu shot, which I think I've got that in my notes here. Really excited about running Richmond this year. I've run it several times before. I kind of totally know what to expect. And as I've been kind of prepping for Richmond, I've had some time to reflect back on some of my other marathons. And this will be my 26th marathon. So I've, you know, got a little bit of experience there to draw from. And Richmond was my first. So when I think back to what I did the first time I ran Richmond, it was a pretty brutal affair. I ran 4:44:59, and that was back on in November of 2006. That was my first marathon. That was I don't really need to describe too much about what happened that day, but I thought for sure. Actually, I've got my time wrong. It was 4:44:59 was my finishing time, and I really don't know how to describe the experience that day other than I just never thought I'd get to the end, and I've never ever felt that depleted of energy and mental strength. I just, everything was gone. I just felt like I was kind of broken. But look what happened since that day. I've run 24 additional marathons, some of them ultras, some of them almost three times the distance of a marathon, regular marathon, and I'm hooked. I ran my second one in 2007. That was Baltimore, and ran 4:33. And then the next year, I ran the Baltimore and Annapolis Trail Marathon, which was it's kind of a misnomer. It was not a trail. It was an asphalt recreational path. Same thing as a road marathon. And that's when I broke 4:30 and ran 4:26. And the remarkable thing about that for me was I ran that marathon on only training 3 days a week. And I've often thought that I should probably go back and look at my training notes from that training cycle, because everything kind of seemed to work that day. Of course, I was 39 years old. I wasn't as the age I am now. It's 5 years ago, over 5 years ago. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for following a plan, sticking to it. I only ran 3 days a week, and here I am. You know, I've been running 4 days a week for the last couple of years. And then my personal best marathon time, which was my seventh marathon, was the Lower Potomac River Marathon in Piney Point, Maryland, which I ran in 4 hours and 17 minutes. And that was when I started to kind of get into the thinking about running some ultras. And that was actually a race that I was running to prep for the Sterling Gym 40-miler. So I was trying kind of a run-walk. And I did, for that marathon, I did a 25-5, run 25 minutes, walk 5, and that actually evened out to where I walked, of that 4 hours and 17 minutes, 40 minutes of that was walking. And the reason I bring that up is to demonstrate that walking, when used strategically, can enhance the racing experience. And I have never gotten that close again. The closest I've gotten before was 4:24, which I ran in Charlottesville. And last couple of years, I haven't gotten anywhere as close, really, to 4:30, with the one exception of that being a trail marathon again, which I ran in 2011, where I ran 4:26. So my goal for Richmond is obviously 4 hours and 30 minutes. It's always that. That seems to always be what I want to run. And in order to get as close as possible to that, you know, I try to take my training as seriously as I can. However, things come up here and there, and you know they always do. I'm really hoping that the discipline I used to get out there and do the 8-miler in the middle of the week, and the 10-miler in the middle of the week, and that 9-miler in the middle of the week, and these are runs after work, and you get home, and you know just the thought of having to go out there for close to 2 hours to get in a 10-miler is kind of dreadful. But once I get out there, I'm always glad I did. But I'm really hoping that the efforts I made to get out there and not cut those runs short will pay off on race day. The only training that I skipped was because I was sick, and that was the 12-miler, which would have been 2 weeks back, 2 weeks out from the race. The Friday before that was going to be a Saturday long run. The Friday before that, I had a flu shot at work. I get a flu shot every year at work. I've never had any problems, but that was in the afternoon, and then that went to bed that night. You know, planning to get up early the next morning and run, and I try to start at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings, so I go to bed kind of early on a Friday night because I'm such a geek. Well, anyway, I woke up around 3:30 in the morning and kind of had the chills and I felt like I had a fever and just that overall rotten feeling. And I thought to myself, man, how is this possible? Did I get the flu from the flu shot? And you know, I'd read some stuff that was possible. You could have you know similar symptoms or whatnot, but I just felt rotten. So I sent an email to the guys I was meeting that I just wasn't going to make it. And I just felt rotten all day, just all day long. And my daughter had a swim meet that afternoon, and I managed to get through all that. Got home, went to bed again relatively early because I was so tired, just you know had that chills feeling. I woke up Sunday morning and was totally back to normal. However, due to family obligations, some stuff at church, I just didn't have the time to go out there and run 12 miles. So I just decided to watch football all day and just kind of bag the whole thing. So I'm hoping that skipping that altogether does not really do me in. I stayed pretty true to the training plan all through. And I just followed a beginner plan and, you know, a plan to just finish. Feel like I have some experience now to draw from. So I'm hoping to kind of get that elusive 4 hours and 30 minutes, which I've never run at Richmond before, I don't think. Let me check my I got a little spreadsheet here I use. No, I've never broke 4:30 at Richmond. So I've always been close as I got, I think, was 4:38. And that was last year. I got 4:37. I ran that in 2009. And that was the first time repeating that race. So, you know, that's what I'm going for. I guess my personal best is to 4:37 at Richmond. So, obviously, I guess that'll be my time goal is to beat that. I'm going to be starting with Ashlyn Tom. He's doing the 4:15 pace group again this year. And what I did for when I filled out my race application, I was, you know, really generous to myself when I estimated I would finish from 4:15 to 4:30. And that way it would put me in the wave that Tom was starting with his pace group. He's pacing the 4:15 group. And that way I could go down with him to the race and hang out with him in the meantime until things get started. And I'll run with him for a little while, and then I'll drop back when it feels right. So, you know, as I think about Richmond, I just hope to, first of all, I can finish. That's the main thing. Second of all, I hope to make my time goal, meet some new people. And I'm going to talk about the bus course tour here in a second. That's something that Tom and I are going to volunteer to do. But I want to back up just a few minutes and talk a little bit about some things that have nothing to do with running. And one is the craft beer festival that we had here in the Center of the Universe Cup at the end of September, which was held at the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. And I was, since I'm on the board there, I'm involved with, you know, all the activities, or at least I'm aware of all the activities that are taking place there, the events. I'm not always totally involved with everything, but I try to get involved as much as I can, which time allows. But anyway, I did volunteer at the beer festival, of course. You know, I don't know, I mean, there's no way I would miss that. And I was at one of the booths, and I got out there early to set up. There was just so much stuff to set up, tables and chairs, and we had to set up a stage because there was going to be a band playing. And anyway, there was a guy there who was setting up his a section where they're going to have a cornhole games. And I've never seen this before, but he was polishing the cornhole boards, and he had sawhorses out there, and he was polishing the, I guess it's the little beanbag slide better. And I just never seen that before. I mean, he was polished, took a lot of time doing it, polishing them, had sawhorses that he was putting them on top of. And he kept moving them in different directions when he would set them out, and he had a tape measure. And it was very, everything was just so accurate. I just felt it was a little weird that he was taking so much time to set up the cornhole. However, if that's your thing, then you want to make it right. I certainly believe that. And anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And the festival was a total success. Several thousand people turned up, and there was a lot of money raised for the Hanover Arts and Activity Center and the charities and the different activities that it promotes. The next thing I just kind of want to rant about a little bit is I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. It's the only team I really like in the NFL, and it's just a real pain when you don't live in that market to be able to watch the game or even listen to it on the radio. And this whole NFL network, they really need to get on the same level that NBC Sports is doing with the English Premier League when it comes to soccer, because I love soccer too. On the weekends, you can watch every single English Premier League game either on TV or online. And the reason that's pretty cool is because if you have one team in particular that you support and they're not the team that's being on TV that NBC Sports selects to play on TV for that day on that Saturday or Sunday, you can watch it online depending on what kind of device you have. And the reason I like that is because if I want to watch a game that's not on, I can cast from my laptop, I can cast that to my TV with a device called a Chromecast. And if you're not sure what that is, just Google it. It's got mixed reviews, but we've actually started streaming Netflix to the laptop, and then we just cast it over to the TV, and it just, you know, beams right through the air. It's a device you plug into the USB port of your TV if you have that, and it the details is pretty good. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not like you're watching digital cable, but if you're not able to see the game that you want, and the Netflix streams over perfectly, it's really good. Live sporting events are just a little bit different, but I just wish the NFL would figure out how to do that. And you still watch all the same commercials, and that way, and because I don't want to pay for the NFL Sunday ticket, which is $300 some at DirecTV. I just figure with the technology these days, it's just beyond me that they haven't figured out to how to do that. And maybe they should just let their contract expire with DirecTV. Anyway, that's enough about that. I just wanted to rant a little bit about that. All right, so a couple weeks back, this podcast is a lot about Tom, Ashland Tom. We were recruited to help at the finish line at a multi-high school cross-country meet back in October. And it was out at Patrick Henry High School. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, these are the kids that run the 5K. It was a girls' meet and then a boys' meet. And we worked the finish line. And the problem with it was the race director, who I think was one of the coaches at Patrick Henry, he used really cheap bibs for the runners. And I would say all but maybe three or four fell off. It was raining. The rain was raining pretty good, and we were under a tent, fortunately, at the finish line. But almost all the kids, with the exception of maybe three or four, their bibs just kind of dissolved and fell off before they got to the finish line. So we had to line them up. As they crossed the finish line, you know, we clicked the little time machine thing. If you've ever worked the finish line of a race, there's different ways. This race isn't big enough to have chips, so we just use these other devices. And you had to line the kids up at the end. And you're talking about some of these kids coming in running 17, 18 minutes. I mean, they're flying. And then you get them across the finish line, and you got to get them to kind of to stop right away and make sure they stay in line. And it got a little harder when you got some of the kids are coming in at 23, 24, 25 minutes. Because, you know, they're really giving it all they got out there. And I just didn't understand why would you use just cheap bibs when it comes to something like that? Or even whoever manufactures those, why would you even make something that's just going to dissolve in weather? It just seems very counterproductive to the whole idea of, you know, producing a race bib for somebody to wear, because you have no idea what the weather's going to be like. And it's really 50-50 whether it's going to be raining or not when you have a meet or any kind of outdoor event. You know, looking that far off into the future, you don't know if it's going to be raining or not. So you kind of have to plan for something to be durable. And it just kind of stymied me a little bit that the race bibs were falling off. But we were able to make do, and it ended up working out okay. So let me talk a little bit about the our tour guide volunteer opportunity. A couple weeks back, the Richmond Roadrunners message board on their website sent out a message asking for people who are interested in being a course tour director. This is for the Richmond Marathon course. And I thought, man, that might be kind of fun. I know it's they're done the day before, and they're done out of the area where the expo is. And I've run the prerequisite was that you had to have run the race twice or something like that, or at least done it once. I think twice is kind of what they wanted. And you had to be familiar with Richmond, and you had to be familiar with the course, because you had to be able to direct the bus driver on the course. So I knew I'd be able to do all that, but I kind of thought, you know, I really don't want to do this by myself. So I called up my friend Ashlyn Tom and said, hey man, if you want a partner, this will be fun. We'll do this. And he said yes. So we signed up, and then there was a chance that he was not going to be able to do it if his daughter qualified for the state cross country meet. So turns out she got injured, which was a real shame. But so he's going to be able to do the course tour, and so we're going to be able to do it. And this is the Friday before the marathon. We're pretty excited. I think it'd be kind of cool to meet some people from out of town and some different people who are either maybe doing the race for the first time or maybe have already done it before but have just never really seen the course from a vehicle. And so we had an orientation the other night. Richmond Roadrunners paid for our dinner. It was a real nice effort on their part and a real nice offer. And so we got a bunch of literature, and one of the guys, I think his name was John Bingham, he had been doing the tour for many years, I think 6 or 7 years, he says. And so at this point in time, he had written up a kind of a guide. And I was reading through it. I was thinking, man, I don't know anything about Richmond compared to this. With monuments and stuff about VCU. I thought I knew about Richmond, but some of the information that he put out in this tour guide, I'm definitely going to review and try to retain and share a lot of this stuff with the people in Richmond. And as a result of looking through that, I've learned that there are two presidents there that are buried in Richmond, one, James Monroe and John Tyler, James Monroe being the fifth president and Tyler being the 10th president. And that kind of led to some interesting conversations with my daughter, who is somewhat of a self-appointed presidential historian. Last year sometime, my wife and I were in some secondhand bookshop somewhere, and I picked up this fact book about all the presidents. I think it went up to Clinton, probably 500, 600 page book. And it's got all this information about each president. And she just started reading that, you know, from like cover to cover. She was just devouring all the information and really excited about it. So when I asked her, hey, what is James Monroe's tie to Richmond? She was able to answer that question. And it's actually escaped me at the moment, but he was actually buried first in New York. And then like 20 years later, I think it was, he was brought down to Richmond. And it was really could not really figure out what his tie to Richmond, other than he was born in Westmoreland County, which is the same county as where George Washington was buried. But anyway, this is the president of the Monroe Doctrine, that if you attack another country in the Western Hemisphere, you're attacking us. And then that brings me to John Tyler, who was actually the first president. This is really not a podcast about presidents, but it just found this very interesting that John Tyler was the first president to take office as a vice president, because Harrison was the first president that died in office. And so Tyler took over. And the funny thing about it was after he was done with his presidency, that's when things started getting really bad for the Civil War. And he actually was a delegate elect for the Confederate Congress. And so when he died, nobody really paid much attention, because he, at that point, he had been kind of deemed a traitor. And I'm saying all this just on what I remembered from reading, and so I'll be saying some of this in the tour group, and I'm sure there'll be some historian or Civil War buff in there that'll correct me. But I thought it was really interesting that – so Tyler was buried in Richmond, and it took many, many years before before the government put a like a headstone marker to mark where he was, something that was, you know, because he was a president. I mean, something that just that was just a little bit more than just a minor marker of where he was buried. And so the both of those men are buried in Hollywood Cemetery. And the reason that's significant is because that is visible from the race route in two different places, I believe. So pretty excited about doing the course tour. Again, excellent opportunity to meet some people from out of town. A good chance, a good opportunity to be an ambassador of the race and share the idea of it being America's friendliest marathon, which is what I firmly believe. I think it's a great race. And I think I read somewhere or heard at the meeting it was in Richmond's in its 36th or 37th year. And to think that really not that long ago, I think it had about only 400 people to run it back when it was with the Richmond newspapers used to have the sponsor the race. And then they gave it up, and that's when SunTrust picked it up. And then I think Anthem has got it this year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's pretty excited, pretty excited about that, something I've never done before. And hopefully it's something that's a positive thing, and I'll end up wanting to do it again. So looking forward to doing that with you, Tom, and hopefully everything will work out just fine on that. All right, so we talked about the flu vaccine, which I'm not sure if I'm going to do that again next year. But in that same week where I was supposed to do the 12-miler, I had 5 and a 4 planned. And one morning, my wife and I were woken up around 4:30 by the pleasant sound of hearing our dog vomiting. And if you've got a pet or anything, and your cat or dog, whatever you have, is puked in your house before, and you know the sound, that is really the worst thing you want to hear, you know, 30 minutes before you're probably, or in my case, that was an hour and a half before I was going to get up for work. So we got it cleaned up and got him outside. And by this time, I was wide awake. It's 5 o'clock, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm wide awake. I could get out and get 5 miles in before I was supposed to get up at 6 a.m., so might as well go ahead and do that. And the reason I don't – so I went ahead and did that. But the reason I don't run that early during the week, main reason is because my wife has generally got a monopoly on hitting the gym and stuff in the morning. And I guess just because we have a small child, one of us wants to stay home. But the main thing is it's just not as relaxing for me knowing that I've got to – kind of hurry up and get the, you know, finish up and get to work. Whereas on the weekend, it's so much more relaxing going out that early, knowing that I don't have to do anything really later that morning. I guess that's kind of why I just have a different perspective on it. But anyway, I knocked out the 5 miles, you know, a few minutes before 6 in the morning, and you know, went to work and actually felt great. Got home, I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do my 4-miler today. So I split it up, and then and what's called a 2-a-day. And if you've ever played football or ever knew anybody that ever practiced football, what you do during in the summer, you do what's called 2-a-days. You get up really early, go to practice, go home, you relax, and then you go back out in the afternoon when it's supposedly cooler and do your second practice, and those are called 2-a-days. Well, I was talking with Tom about that, Ashland Tom, and he said that he had done several of those at some point in time just to get those runs in to free up a day. And so that's something I'm actually thinking about for, you know, in the future, just perhaps just to switch things up a little bit, try some 2-a-days and see how all that works out. So that's that was part of the marathon training. Again, I really do feel like I'm ready. I'm going to be well rested. I'll be nervous. And, you know, I'm just really hoping for one of those days where my biorhythms are up, my mood is up, my attitude is good, the weather's good. The long range forecast for right now looks like it's going to be a high of 61 that day, which is ideal because that means it's going to be, you know, mid 30s in the morning, maybe low 40s. That'd be perfect to get started. And I'm just really hoping everything comes together for this day. And as long as I stay very relaxed, I'll have fun. And it makes me think about when I ran the Charlotte Marathon back in, I think it was 2009. Let me check that real quick. I got my spreadsheet here. Yeah, I ran Charlotte in 2008. I'm sorry. Totally relaxed that day. I ran a 4:25. And what I did that day was I raced the 4:30 pace group. I remember seeing those two guys. They had these yellow shirts on, and once I got ahead of them, I just kept looking back and making sure I stayed ahead of them, even when I had to walk through some of the water stops or even go to the Port-a-John. I would, if I knew I had to go to the bathroom, I would just force myself to run faster ahead, and I just kept staying ahead of them. And they got close to me, I mean, at one point in time. And I just remember that was, you know, thinking, man, that was kind of fun because I wasn't racing the clock. I was kind of racing them. And maybe I can do that this time around. I got some bad memories of running Richmond and just seeing the 4:30 people pass me, and then I just, you know, couldn't keep up, and so I'm just kind of hoping that doesn't happen this time. So anyway, that is so that's all the race prep. I've you know, obviously taken a couple short runs this week, getting ready for Richmond. Pretty much all the training's done. I'm not hurt. I feel pretty good. I don't think I've lost any weight during this training cycle. But we'll find out on race day and how things all work out. So let's move over to the race bag or the email bag section of the show. See who checked in this week. All right, we heard from Ryan again. And again, Ryan sent in some pretty cool race reports. Ryan's part of Team Incognito. And no, we have nothing to do with Richie Incognito of the Miami Dolphins. Ryan writes, thanks for the call outs. Most of us enjoy hearing about ourselves, no doubt. Just to catch you up to date, here are two brief reports to avoid taking up a whole episode. One is the Banff Relay, which was October 19th. He said, perfect conditions, close. This is up in Canada. Perfect conditions, close to 50, mostly sunny. Our corporate team name was Poppin' Fresh, which we thought was suitably ironic for a race. If you don't know, look it up on Wikipedia. Poppin' Fresh would be Poppin' Fresh Dough, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to go ahead and look that up for everybody so they know. I'm going to look that up because I remember, I think that's that little fat guy that they, I think it's Pop. Yeah, it's the Pillsbury Doughboy, if you know what that is. Anyway, I know what that is. Like last year, the course was supposed to be five legs, totaling a marathon, but the week of the race, they discovered grizzly cubs residing near the course and had to cut it a couple legs short. We were pretty consistent in the first four legs, sitting in around 32nd position. However, our anchor Jenny is a spectacular athlete. She passed eight teams to close, so we finished 24th out of 81 and 9th out of 35 for corporate teams. Jenny has since relocated offices, so they'll have to find some new talent for next year. Very cool report. Second one is the Okotoks cross country race, which was about a half an hour south of Calgary, part of the cross country Grand Prix series with the Calgary Roadrunners. Ryan writes, it had snowed all morning and was still snowing during the race. That was right around 0 degrees Celsius, which is 30 degrees Fahrenheit, with little wind, so not too cold. The toughest parts were the hills, the extra work, running in the snow, and the slippery, muddy places. Because I was breathing hard, didn't have great footing, I walked up the hills. I finished 77th, which was written on a popsicle stick, which he assumes, again, was in the back half of the pack, in addition to the included soup lunch after. Club members take photos at a couple places on the course, which is a nice bonus. And they're already posted, and he writes in to spot me here through the snow. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and click on that link. And, oh, my gosh, Ryan, that is incredible. I wish the listeners could see that. It looks like Ryan has got green gloves on, headband, jacket, and long pants. It looks like tights. And there's a guy behind him in shorts with no gloves. But it looks like at least 6 inches of snow, as well as snow in the blowing. So, wow, that's hardcore, man. But well done, Ryan. I really do appreciate the email. And again, for other listeners out there, I'm gonna be starting up the campaign here soon, probably with next episode or two, for the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign, which I'll celebrate with the 200th episode probably in a couple months. And what that is that's just I did it, I think, at the 100th episode and realized that I had a lot of listeners that, you know, they don't ever write in, but they like to listen to the show, and you certainly don't ever have to write in. But I do like to hear from people to kind of just see where, you know, write in. That's to ashlanddave@gmail.com. Send me an email. you know, tell me where you're from, where, you know, what you do, and what kind of stuff, endurance events you're involved in, and it doesn't have to be real long, and if you get anything out of the podcast. And the reason I ask for that kind of feedback is because it helps me, it inspires me to come up with new material for another show, some different things to talk about, to kind of share this love I have of long distance running. And I know a lot of other people out there have the same interest. And there's a saying that we have here kind of locally with some of the running people around here, that the only thing that's more fun than running is talking about going running and talking about running, and that really holds true. And I have enjoyed doing the podcast, and again, I'll continue to do it as long as I'm able. And I've been doing it, I think, since 2008, so this is in over 5 years now, and kind of hard to believe that I've still been doing it. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a special recognition of original listeners. And I know there's a whole handful of them out there. I'm thinking of around five right now that I know have been listening since the very beginning. One of them is my good friend down in the Woodlands, Texas. Another one is Ryan and No Snugs. Oh, what are the other two? I think one of them is Christine over at the Lazy Bones Running Podcast, and I know there's one that's not coming to mind. But you know, there's some people out there that have been very supportive all along. If I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Ashlyn Tom, I know, was one of the others. So you know, I want to just kind of do some special recognition of those people. So at one point in time, I might, if you are one of those longtime listeners, original listeners from episode one, you know, and not going back and catching up, but you know, for the most part, you know, I might ask for a little biography information just to share that with the rest of the people out there. So anyway, that'll be coming down the pike here in the next couple episodes. If you stick with me and hang in there and continue to listen to the show, I certainly do appreciate that, as I do every time I put out a show and see that people download it. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel that there's whatever I'm saying, people are interested in listening to it. And I definitely am interested in the feedback, which you can give me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Well, that's the episode this week. I appreciate you coming along. Hopefully you'll come along for the next episode, which will be 187, which will be reflections and notes from the Richmond Marathon. So I'm going to wish myself the best for reaching my goals at Richmond, and I will talk to y'all on the other side. This is Ashlyn Dave reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.